The question before us this morning is a good one, and one that I'll bet is immediately relevant to us. Dealing with negative conflict, how are we to act? In some instances, being kind does not diffuse the situation. Is it ever okay to be harsh and negative in response? That's a great question, and I'm sure that all of us can identify with it, at least to some degree. As believers, we realize that one of the primary purposes of our lives is to love others with the same love that God has shown to us. And so we put up with a lot. We strive for peace. We aim for patience. We try our very best to love our neighbors as ourselves. But this question asks a good question. What happens when that kindness is ignored or even opposed? What happens when conflict erupts and kindness is getting us nowhere? Can we reasonably use harsh and negative words in order to get through to the other person? The short answer, I would say, is no. The long answer, I would say, is also no, but it is more nuanced. Let me show you why I say that. The Bible, I think, gives us at least a couple of reasons why it would not be helpful to use harsh and negative words in conflict. The first is very pragmatic. One harsh word leads to another. Imagine that Kent, Campbell, and I were in a big conflict. You know, Kent's the kind of guy that gets into conflicts a lot, I'll bet. And I decided to myself, I need to knock him down a peg. He's just not listening to me, and so I need to say something harsh to get through to him. How do you suppose he's going to react? Well, Kent would probably react gently. He's a good guy. He's going to put up his back. He's going to say, well, listen, I'm rubbering you glue that bounces off of me and sticks to you. He would say something mean back to me, probably, and then I would get my back up, and I would say, oh yeah, well, I can top that, and all of a sudden, our conflict has escalated. There's a proverb that speaks to this. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. One harsh word deserves another. You know what? If you're in a conflict and you go in swinging, you're going to stir up a hornet's nest of anger in that other person. I mean, what would happen if I said something harsh to you? Your instinct would get your back up, right? Defenses go up. You're going to want to do as Jesus said and treat them as they have treated you. But if you can gently address someone, if you can deflect it, then they are going to be a lot more willing to hear what you have to say. There's actually another proverb that talks about why it is that we get our defenses up so quickly. It's Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Harsh words hurt. So, of course, people are going to fight back if they have been pierced by something that you've said. But the Proverbs show us that there's a different way, right? A wise person uses their words to heal, to help. It reminds me of what we said back in James. Are we using our words as weapons or as wheelbarrows? In this case, I guess we could say as swords or as salves that heal. Do we use our words for hurting or for healing? One harsh word leads to another. That's the Bible's practical reason for not using harsh words with others. But I think that the Bible gives us a theological reason too, and that comes from the passage that Joanna just read for us. Turn to your Bibles, Ephesians 4. We're going to look at Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. Paul writes, I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Observation one, apart from God, harsh words make sense. Harshness in general makes sense. Just look at the handicap that people are dealing with, that we deal with apart from the Lord. Verse 17, futile thinking. Verse 18, darkened understanding. Verse 19, loss of all sensitivity, completely calloused. Put that together with a lust for more, with a lust for more acclaim, for more prestige, for more privilege, and you get a person who is willing to say whatever it takes to make their point, no matter how that impacts the other person. Paul's going to call this the old self, the old way of living, in a minute here. Verse 20, you though, you who know Christ, you did not know, come to know him that way. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and instead to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Observation two, we are in Christ renewed to be like God himself. We are renewed to be like God himself. When we become, when we turn from sin and become God's children, God takes away the dirty old self, the darkened understanding, the hardened heart, and gives us a new way of living that reflects his goodness and his holiness. He enlightens our understanding. He helps us to see from a new point of view, and that's meant to impact how we treat other people. For example, verse 25. Therefore, since that old way of living is gone, since you've put on the new self, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. And then skim down to verse 29. Paul actually gives three examples where you apply this. Here's one of them. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Since you are not the old way, but the new way, don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. Observation three, being renewed means building others up. Being a child of God means getting rid of that old way of thinking and speaking, and letting go of the habit of saying whatever you feel like, regardless of the cost. Instead, being a child of God means that you will use words to build other people up according to their needs, so it will benefit them. Paul just keeps putting scoops and scoops on top. It's a very delicious ice cream cone that says, build others up. That's the theological reason that the Bible gives us to not use harsh and negative words. God makes us new to build others up. When we become believers, we throw out the old way of living. We put on a new way of living that reflects God's holiness and his goodness. So our words should reflect that holiness and goodness. So, no, I don't think that it's appropriate for believers to be harsh and negative in the midst of conflict. But the question remains, how do we get through to somebody who has dug in their heels and just wants to fight? This is where the nuance comes in. It strikes me that harsh and negative words are inconsistent with the character of God. But that doesn't matter that we just roll over and give, that doesn't mean that we just roll over and give up on conflict resolution. Sometimes you need to be sharp to get through to somebody. Sometimes you need to be blunt. Sometimes you need to rebuke a person, and I think that that's totally appropriate for believers. In fact, I see in the Bible a variety of examples. For example, in Galatians, Paul describes this time when Peter felt pressure from Jewish believers, and Peter began to withdraw from the Gentiles, and Paul went up to his face and said, "Buddy, you're wrong here. You're doing the wrong thing." When Paul invited Barnabas to revisit the churches that they had planted, they had a sharp disagreement, it says, over who would come with them. So sharp, in fact, they parted ways and went in different directions. Extending the ministry by two, I would add. But there was a sharp disagreement there. And Jesus hardly mollycoddled, is that a word? Jesus was hardly soft gloves with people. "You brood of vipers!" The temple cleansing was hardly rolling over and giving up, was it? So I would say sharp and pointed words may be appropriate in the life of a believer. Okay, what's the difference between harsh and negative words and sharp and pointed words? Good question. I think it comes down to motivation. Why are you saying this? Right? Not just what are you saying, but why are you saying it? Are you saying it to tear them down, to show that you're better than them? Is your intention to be negative? Then I don't think you want to use those words. But if your intention is to speak to them in a sharp and pointed way to say, "Listen, I've tried so many times to get through to you, but you're not listening, and I value this relationship so much that I'm going to say something hard," I think that's appropriate. That being said, I think we do really need to be careful using harsh, sharp, pointed, blunt, whatever words you want to use, being sharp with people. You know, those pointed words are a lot like dynamite. They can be very, very effective if used properly. But handled misproperly, they can be tremendously destructive. Okay, so let me humbly suggest to you three guidelines for handling and using sharp language in the midst of conflict. First, examine your own heart. That's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew 7. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in his eye and pay no attention to the plank that's in your own eye? How can you go to your brother and say, 'Here, let me tell you what's wrong with you,' when all the time there is a bigger issue in you? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck of sawdust in the other person." You know, I've often found in conflict that when I want to lash out at somebody, it's because my heart has, unbeknownst to me, defaulted to the old way of thinking. That old, deceitful, darkened, hardened, calloused way of thinking. I want to prove I'm right. I want to show the other guy is wrong. I want to make sure everybody else knows that they are wrong. But that's not consistent with the new way of living like God, is it? That's why Paul reminds us over and over again, you need to put on the new self. Keep putting it on. Before we ever think about saying something sharp to another person, we need to look into our own hearts to see what's going on in here. What's the motivation behind this? Am I doing it just to have a fight? If so, put the dynamite back in the box. Is there really a desire here to resolve the conflict and you can't see any other way to proceed? I think I talked a couple of weeks ago about, you know, reading with the fan on high versus reading with the fan on low. I, extra high fan, blew through a couple of books this week, both of them called Words That Hurt, Words That Heal. I was like, oh, I like that. Words that hurt, words that heal. One of them was by a Jewish rabbi who writes this. If you realize that part of you relishes speaking out, you probably shouldn't. The insincerity of your concern, your pleasure at seeing your victim's discomfort, and or your desire to hurt someone at whom you may be angry will be apparent. As a result, your listener will probably react defensively and unlikely to change. If your motives are pure, that is, you really wish you didn't have to say something but feel morally obligated to do so, that will shine through in the encounter. It is likely that the listener won't see you as an adversary who wants to hurt you, but as a friend who wants to help. And that perception will enable him to maintain self-respect. For example, he's criticizing me because he likes me and thinks that this will everything will be all right. I think that's wise. We need to examine our hearts to see what's there before we say something to someone else. Guideline 2, be quick to listen and slow to speak. I think that a lot of times in the midst of conflict, our instinct is to rush in and make sure that we are heard. My opinion is the most important here, so you need to hear it and make sure you hear it. But when we do that, that comes at the expense of hearing where the other person is coming from. If we are going to speak pointedly to another person, we need to be sure we understand why they're thinking the way they do. Why have they put up this fight? If we're going to understand what they're thinking about, then we need to listen to them. And like really listen to them. Not just listen to figure out the snappy comeback you're going to say back to them, but listen to understand what's motivating them. What's going on underneath of this harsh facade that they're putting up? Margaret Nielsen is a wise counselor who has spent many years as a counselor and spiritual mentor. So I invited her into this conversation, and I'll have her come up right now. Just kidding. She gave me this gem. To listen is a gift to the other person. To acknowledge them and their feelings and their thoughts, it tells them that you care. That you're not just in this to knock them down. That you truly care about them and the relationship. We need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. That's an idea that you see over and again in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18:13. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. 15:28. The heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. 17:27. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. A man of understanding is even tempered. 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. Clearly, God cares about how we use our words. And according to these proverbs, the smart move is to weigh our words carefully before we say them. So in the midst of a conflict with somebody who refuses to budge, think for a minute. Have I taken the time to hear them and to understand where they're coming from? And have I held my tongue long enough that I get what's going on in their mind? If you have, guideline 2, be quick and quick to listen and slow to anger. If you are confident that you have heard them, you have understood them, there's no way that you can see to proceed beyond this. And I would add that it's smart to have an objective voice, an objective other person, speak into this situation to be able to identify, look, you've got a blind spot in this area. If you are confident that you have heard the other person and you say no way forward, okay, then you need to speak. I mean, what did Paul say in Ephesians 4? Speak the truth. Speak truthfully to your neighbor. Guideline 3, speak the truth in love. Clearly there is some sort of conflict, there is some sort of thing going on that's getting in the way of your relationship with that other person. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be addressed. If they have stubbornly refused to engage in that conversation, then you may need to be firm. You may need to push them a little bit to take responsibility for their part in this. But unless you do that with gentleness and patience and respect, defenses are going to come back up. Speak the truth in love. Ken Sandy, he founded the organization that produced the Bible study, Resolving Everyday Conflict, that we did back in the fall. He writes this: there are times when you must speak to others in a firm or even blunt manner, especially if they have refused to pay attention to a gentle approach and are persisting in sinful behavior. Even so, it is wise to take a gentle approach first and get firmer only as necessary. He goes on to suggest what that would look like. When you need to show others their faults, don't talk down to them as though you are faultless and they are inferior to you. Instead, talk with them as though you are standing side by side at the foot of the cross. When people sense this kind of humility and common bond, they will be less inclined to react to correction with pride and defensiveness. If you are engaged in some sort of conflict right now, and you understand what's happening to the best of your knowledge, go ahead. Speak the truth. Speak sharply. Tell other people truthfully how their actions have hurt you or their relationship. But do it with love and compassion and mercy, knowing that it might just be you who needs somebody to say that to you a month from now. Guideline 3, speak the truth in love. So, is it ever okay to be harsh and negative to get someone to listen to you? No, I don't think so. The Bible gives us a couple of reasons. Practical, right? Harsh words lead to more harsh words. Theological reason, we are renewed. We have put off the old way. We are renewed in the image of God. So no, I don't think that it's okay to be harsh and negative with people. But yes, I agree that there are times when it's appropriate to be firm and pointed with people who just won't listen. In those cases, check your heart. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. And then prayerfully and carefully speak the truth in love. Let me get very pastoral here. I realize that this is way easier to say than to do. And I know that many of you are in conflicts right now that are making work and life and family tough. I feel for you. I know those nights waking up at 2 o'clock and not being able to sleep until 4 o'clock because you're replaying that conversation in your head over and over. I know that feeling of not wanting to eat because you're so mad or throw a chair across the room. I had those times when all I want to do is bite my tongue and say, God, help me here because I'm really at the end of my rope. And no, I'm not talking about a conflict with Kent, by the way. Nor with Julie. There's a particular time 7 or 8 years ago. That kind of conflict that changes the course of your life. That kind of conflict is what I'm thinking about. It is really easy in those moments to want to lash out at somebody. Thought about what I was going to say here, and I always listen to myself preaching, and I realized, what did I need to hear 7 or 8 years ago? Here it is. It's hard to be in conflict. Hard not to lash out at somebody. But you are a child of God. You are a child of the Most High God, who is by his very nature compassionate and merciful and kind. You have put on the new self that is being renewed day by day, that looks like God, that smells like God, that feels like God in goodness and faithfulness and holiness. God is at work empowering you and me to speak to others the way that Jesus would. You know, used to say WWJD, what would Jesus do? WWJS, what would Jesus say? The Spirit is in you to help you to say that. But even then, it's going to take time. It's probably going to take awkward conversations, uncomfortable situations, sitting across with somebody going, I just really don't want to be here right now. It may take going into another room and waiting until temperatures have cooled down a little bit so that you can actually talk to each other. But you know what? It's worth it. Because you will have shown that person that that relationship is meaningful to you. You will have shown love to them even if they have opposed you. If you have done your best to be kind and gentle and humble, you're doing the right thing. You are doing the right thing. You are reflecting God's goodness. You are reflecting his holiness, and in his time, he will vindicate you. He is working for goodness even now, and he will ultimately show that love always triumphs over evil. Speak the truth in love, and let God speak love to you. Let's pray. Just as our eyes are closed here, if you're thinking about a particular conflict right now, do you want to raise your hand or nod your head so I know that I can pray for you specifically? Okay, we'll put our hands down. God, we come to you and ask for your strength and patience and perseverance. Jesus, you have set for us an example of loving, even to the point of sacrificing yourself on the cross. That's our model. You're our example. But Jesus, it's hard. And conflict hurts. And we've had words pierce us, and we've done some cutting too. Lord, forgive us when we have spoken out of turn, and enable us, please, to speak truth in love. Help us to see ourselves objectively. Help us to be courageous enough to tell the truth about our own motivations. And God, give us a peace and the confidence to be able to speak when justice demands it. God, I pray for your supernatural intervention in these conflicts, in these people's lives. Lord, I pray that as they are patient and humble and kind, you would bring a breakthrough in their circumstances. Lord, and let there be peace and reconciliation. God, that's your thing, reconciling, resolving. I pray that you would pour that out in each of us. Help us to be your ministers of reconciliation in this world. We pray in Jesus' name.